I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that that's the first time we've had a banjo on this stage. Pretty sure. And as we walk into this new year, we want to have some fun as we begin this conversation. And as we begin entering into a conversation that the truth is all of us are having. Before we get there, really, really quickly, Happy New Year. Excellent. You guys nailed it. The first two services were pathetic. It was pathetic. But you guys understand the social contract, right? There's a social contract. You have to respond with the same enthusiasm. Apparently, you guys learned from Christmas, whereas the other two just didn't. But fortunately, this one isn't online, so they won't have to hear me say that about them. So, but as we come together in 2017, we are excited about this year. We're excited about being back together again. And we are really excited about this new conversation called legacy. Because the truth is, every single one of us, doesn't matter who you are, we want to live a life that matters. We want to live a life that's significant. And I don't know if you guys experienced this as you walk through the new year or not, but for me, almost every year as I walk through the new year and that break there between Christmas and the new year, there's at least a small amount of time, and usually I try to give it even more than that, but just time to be able to reflect on, okay, where am I? Where am I? Where have I been? Where am I going? What's happening? And tied up in that is all these conversations and questions about significance. Like, did this last year of my life really matter? Did I do anything that mattered? And whether it happens over the new year for you or not, I think for all of us, we walk through that, we're asking ourselves this question, like, okay, does my life matter? When this is all said and done, when they look at what my life was about, will it have mattered? Was it in any way, shape, or form significant? And we want that. We want to live lives that are significant. I believe it's actually been built into you that you were created to crave a life of significance, because I believe as we walk through the next couple weeks, I'm going to show you this, that Jesus created you to be uniquely part of his story in a way that only you can, in a very significant and beautiful way. I believe it's actually built into you. We want to live lives of significance. And as we step into 2017 to know that, okay, this year's going to be significant, that it's going to matter. But there are a couple problems that we encounter in this conversation of significance. And the first one has to do with the song that we just sang. The first one is this. We live in a fool's narrative. And what I mean by that is this. Our culture has a fool's narrative. In other words, it lives like you can black out the sun. It lives like, listen, you can live for today and live it up today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And we live like we can do that, but then still live a life of significance. We live inside of a fool's narrative that says, okay, you can do something here and it won't affect you there. You can make a decision here and you won't have to live with the consequences of it there. That's a fool's narrative. A fool is someone who doesn't see the connection in life and understanding that, no, the decision you make today is going to impact tomorrow. If you live like tomorrow isn't going to come, don't be surprised if tomorrow sucks. We live within a fool's narrative. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to break that down and look at how God speaks into that. But there's also a second problem, and that's where I want to spend the most of our time today, because if we don't get a handle on the second problem, it won't do us any good to address the first, because it's not just that we live in a fool's narrative. That's not the only problem. The other problem is this. We completely misunderstand significance. I believe that the scriptures, that Jesus is coming to us and saying, I want for you to live a life of significance, but you don't understand what that means. And we began this conversation on Christmas Sunday, Because if you remember on Christmas Sunday, for those of you who are here, if you weren't here, I encourage you to go back and listen to it. We looked at how we live for honor, and we want to be a big deal, and we want people to think a lot of us. We want people to envy us. Ultimately, the word that we came to is this idea that we want to be worshiped. We want people to want to be us, and we want to be able to look at our lives, and this has everything to do with significance, because we want to be able to look at our lives and say, look, wow, look at what I did, or look at what I accomplished, look at how significant my time was. And it's not just that we want it to be significant, we want people to be able to see it and recognize it and honor it. And we looked at how we live for these things, but then Jesus, the one who deserved the most honor, the one who truly was a big deal, comes and gives up all that was rightfully his, all that he deserved, the glory, the honor, the recognition. He gives it all up because he wanted something else more. He wanted you. And the one who deserves the most honor comes in the most dishonorable way. The one who deserves the most honor dies in the most dishonorable way, and it begins to shape and shake up everything that we believe about significance. And we, when we think of significance, we typically think of, okay, I want to do something that's a big deal. I want to be a part of something big. But I believe that both with Jesus' birth, with Jesus' death, and then also all along his life as he's teaching his disciples, he's trying to shift the way that we see this. He's trying to shift our entire understanding of what's actually significant. And this morning I want to take you to one of the most popular stories that Jesus ever tells. And you may have never seen this before, but as you look at this story, I want for you to be able to see how it speaks specifically to our understanding of significance. The story is found in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we're going to pick it up in verse 25. Jesus begins to interact with a teacher of religious law. It starts off, it says this. It says, one day an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? So understand the context. This is not a friend of Jesus. This is not someone who likes Jesus. This is someone who's actually opposed to Jesus. And he comes in and he's trying to trick Jesus. He's trying to catch Jesus in saying something inaccurate. And so he comes in and he asks him this question, hoping that Jesus will say something inaccurate so that they can discredit him. And he brings him this question, but unfortunately for him, Jesus does what Jesus often does, which is to answer a question with a question. So he comes to him and says, okay, listen, what is it that I'm supposed to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus turns back to him, says, Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? So Jesus turns the question back on him and says, well, what do you think? You're a religious scholar, a scholar of religious law. Like, you tell me, what is it that God expects of us? What is required for us to inherit eternal life? Now, if this guy was smart, he would turn the question back on Jesus, but in his arrogance and his opportunity to be able to share his own knowledge, he answers the question, alleviating the trap. And so Jesus turns it back to him and says, well, what do you think? The guy can't wait to hear his own voice, so he answers the question. Says the man answered, well, the answer is you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus looks at him and says, right. Jesus told him, do this and you will live. Now, let me just draw your attention to the significance of the moment, okay? Because we should pay very close attention to this conversation. Because in this moment, the question is massive. This individual comes to Jesus and he says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Let me reshape that question for you. Because ultimately what he's asking is this. What is it that God expects of us? We typically, I would argue that all of us ask this question, but we don't necessarily ask it in the terms of, okay, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? We typically ask it this way: God, what is it that you actually expect? I think we ask this question all the time. And many of us have a multitude of answers that we've accumulated over time of what it is that God expects. But then in this moment, we have a rare opportunity, because this guy comes to Jesus and he's talking to Jesus. He's talking to the Son of God. He's talking to God. And he says to him, okay, God, what is it that you actually expect? He said, what do I have to do? And Jesus turns it back on him, and he actually gives us the right answer. He gives us the right answer. So he says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, yep, that's it. Which is huge for us. Huge for us, because he says, what does God expect? This is what he expects. He expects for you to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But then it gets even better. Then it gets even better, because as he continues, the guy, feeling bad about the decisions that he's made in his life and wanting to justify his own decisions in life, he continues. Listen to what it says. It says, the man wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And he asked another question that we ask all the time. So you hear us talking here about how God calls us to love, and you hear us talking here about how God calls us to follow him and what it means to follow Jesus. But one of the questions, if you haven't asked this yet, I'm telling you, you will. Because as you hear that, one of the natural questions to ask is this: yeah, but what does that look like? You want me to love my neighbor as myself. Okay, all right, fine. But what does that actually look like? This past week, I had someone meet with me in my office. And she said, yeah, but what does it actually look like to follow Jesus? And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. There's actually a moment in Jesus' life where he was asked that very question. What does it actually look like? This is one of the most fundamental questions of our entire existence. God, what is it that you expect? And what does that actually look like? And Jesus decides to tell a story. So in this moment, Jesus is telling a story to capture the answer to one of the most significant questions of our existence. He says, let me share with you a story. The guy says, yeah, but what does that really look like? He says, let me share with you a story. And he could choose any story. He could tell any story, but he chooses one. Now, I don't know if you understand the significance of that or not, but Jesus is now going to share with us a story that he believes best captures what it means to live out what God expects of us. Listen to the story that he chooses. Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, but when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan, and we'll talk about this a little bit more as we work through the story in the coming weeks, but for those of you who don't know, Jews and Samaritans, they despised each other. They looked down on each other. They wanted nothing to do with each other. They're enemies. This is not a friend of his. This is an enemy of his. He's basically saying that one of his enemies came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him.
Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, "Take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here." He comes over, he bandages the man's wounds. He takes him to an inn. He says to the innkeeper, "Listen, I'll do whatever it takes for him to be able to recover. So if he has to stay here longer than what I've paid you for already, I'll come back and pay for it. You just make sure that he gets better." "Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits?" Jesus asked. The man replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Then Jesus said, "Yes, now go and do the same." God, what is it that you expect of us? Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. But what does that actually look like? Let me give you a story that captures it best. And he chooses this story. He chooses a story that no one ever knows about. He chooses a story that impacts the life of one person. He chooses a story for which there is no recognition. He chooses a story for which there is no honor. The only person who knows about the story outside of the man who has helped is perhaps the innkeeper, and we don't actually know the extent to which he knows the story. He chooses a story in which there's no recognition. He doesn't choose the story of a king. He doesn't share the story of a prophet. He doesn't take us back to Abraham. He doesn't take us back to David. And let me tell you the story of David. You remember the story of David? You remember the life that... No? He doesn't take us to the story of one of the heroes of the faith that we see in the book of Hebrews. He doesn't take us to any of those places. He doesn't take us to the story of someone who changed the world. He shares with us a story of someone who impacted one person. And just as with his birth and with his death, as he's speaking to this man, he shares this story to say, "You guys, you're all consumed with the big. You're all consumed with what's going to be seen. You're all consumed with the achievement and the accomplishment. And you think that a life that's significant is about the big and what's noticed and what's seen." He said, "But let me tell you a story of what's actually significant. And it's not big and it's not grand." He says, "You want to know what it's like? What is it really like? You want to know what it's like? You just take care of the people that I put in your path. God, what is it that you want from us? What is it that you require of us? We make it into this big, gigantic thing." He says, No. "What does it really look like?" He says, "You just take care of the people that I put in your path. But the problem is, we're so concerned with the big and what's recognized and what's seen. The problem is we're so concerned
with what we believe to be significant. And make no mistake about it, it's not an accident that he uses a priest and a temple worker in the story. Because he's specifically addressing those who are about what's seen and those who are about making a big deal of themselves and doing the things that other people will notice and will recognize, and the people who believe that that's what was significant. And in the story, you see them. They see the man lying there, the person that God has put in their path, but they move by. Why? Because they've got other things to do to concern themselves with. They've got more important places to be. How many of us in our quest for significance move past people that God's put in our path? In our quest to live lives of significance, even in our quest to live lives of significance for God, we move past the person that God's put in our path. And Jesus says, you're passing by the significant to live for that which doesn't matter. And no one else may know about this story, but I know about this story. And significance isn't found in the things that are seen or the things that are celebrated. Significance is found when you care for the people that I put in your path. But unfortunately, we all too often move past our friends and our family members. We clamor over our coworkers. To live lives that we believe will be significant. And in this moment, in this story, Jesus challenges all of that. And he says, no, significance isn't found in climbing over your coworker. Significance is found in caring for your coworker. Significance isn't found and promotions or achievements. Significance is found in caring well for your wife, the one that I've given you, for your husband, the one that I've called you to, caring well for your kids, for your friends. But we move past the significant. And our pursuit of that which will not matter. And make no mistake about it, there will come a day, and there will come a time and a place where it will actually be known. As a matter of fact, there's another conversation that Jesus has where they ask him, an individual comes to him and says, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Again, Jesus talks to him about the commandments. And the individual looks at Jesus and says, well, I've lived all those commandments. What else do I need to do? And Jesus says, okay, you're not really getting this. So let me rephrase it to really reveal your heart. And so he says to the young man, he says, okay, let me rephrase that. So what I want you to do is I want you to go and sell everything that you have. And it says that he was an exceptionally wealthy person. So I want you to sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. And it says that the man goes away sad. Jesus says, no. Let me help you understand this. What you're finding your significance in all the things that you have. And you think that you've got this figured out because you do this, to do that. He said, but you're finding your significance in all the things that you have. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go give up everything that you think makes you significant, and I want you to follow me and what I believe is significant. And it says that the young man went away sad because he wasn't willing. He wasn't willing to give it up.
He still believed that that's what provided significance. At the end of that conversation, Jesus says something very interesting to his disciples. It says, Jesus said to them, this is found in Matthew chapter 19. It says, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking about heaven, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. And then he says this. He says, but many who are first will be last. And many who are last will be first. He says, guys, you don't understand significance. And when this whole thing is over, many that you look at today and say they're a big deal, look at what they've done and look at what they've accomplished. He says, many of them will be lost. But many whose accomplishments you never heard of, whose stories were never told, will be first. Because they were faithful with the people that God put in their path. Because they were faithful with the people that God put in their path. Many of you have heard me talk about my grandfather and share the story of my grandfather. My grandfather gave his entire life to care for my grandmother who had MS. He gave his entire life to care for one person. And at the end of his life, if you looked at his life, for many they would look at and say, there's really nothing of significance here. He really only, it seemed, impacted one person. Make no mistake about it. There will be many who look up to my grandfather in heaven. And on this earth, it may have looked as if he finished last. But that will not be true for eternity. And there are many of us who are accomplishing great things. But our drive is about ambition, accomplishment, achievement. We believe that that's where significance is found. And in the process, we're caring poorly for the people that God's put in our path. We may finish first here, but we will not be first there. And there's nothing wrong with the career, and there's nothing wrong with being the CEO, and there's nothing wrong with that, as long as what drives it is to faithfully follow Christ and to be able to care better for the people that God's put in our path. But if anything else drives it, we must be honest with ourselves in the reality that we are living for that which is insignificant. And Jesus steps in and says, come on, 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 come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. You're living for all the wrong things. But if you will allow me, I will lead you into that which is eternally significant. I will lead you into that which actually matters. I will lead you into the life for which you were created as part of my story. And it's not complicated. For the last couple months, I've been meditating on this truth. Such a powerful truth. How God, throughout the scriptures, when he's speaking of himself, he talks about loving the world. So John 3:16, over and over again throughout the scriptures, for God so loved the world. God loved the world. God's responsible. He's taking responsibility for the world. But then as he comes to us, he doesn't come to us with the same responsibility. He doesn't come to us and say, I want for you to take that on yourself. I want for you to figure out how to fix the world. I want for you to figure out. He doesn't come to us and say, I want for you to change the world. No, no, no. He comes to us and says, here's what I expect of you. You take care of your neighbor. The dynamic of that is beautiful. And for some of you, you're carrying this weight of significance either because of what the world expects of you or your dad expected of you, whoever it may be, you're carrying this weight of significance and you're looking at all the wrong things. And others of you are carrying it because you think that this is what God expects of you, big and grand. And Jesus is saying, if you just take care of the people in your path, you'd find a significance that kings and prophets never found. This is what he wants for you. And it's not complicated. Jesus wasn't lying to you when he says, take my yoke upon you, for it is light and easy to carry. So you guys have made him this big deal, this big, 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 and reckoned. No. Here's the story that captures it best. Take care of the people in your path. What would happen to the world if we just trusted Jesus enough to take care of the people in our path? Maybe, just maybe, that's how God intends to change the world. Maybe, just maybe, may we embrace not the world's definition, not our definition. May we embrace Jesus' definition of significance. And may we decide to follow him and taking care of the people in our path. Will you pray with me? Dad, I pray as we talk through this, I pray that you would challenge us, that you would challenge those of us who are living for the wrong thing. That you would reveal in us the false significances that we're living for, those areas that we believe to be significant, those achievements that we believe that we're chasing after. I pray that you would reveal those in us. Father, I also pray as we talk through this for those who are here, who are living incredible lives of significance, caring well for the people in their path. Father, I pray that you would encourage them this morning. And the world tells them that what they're doing doesn't matter. And I pray that today their heart would overflow, that it would overflow with the reality that what they're doing is actually incredibly significant. Father, I pray that we would begin to see the world the way that you see it. I pray that your birth, your teachings, that your death would change our entire understanding of this. And that we truly would live lives of eternal significance. Father, I pray that we would not concern ourselves with what will be said of us here, but that our concern, our primary concern, would be what you will say of us there. Father, we want to live taking care of the people in our path. Whether it's one, whether it's 100, whether it's 1,000, whatever, we just want to be faithful. And trust you to use that in whatever way you will. In Jesus' name, amen.